From the BOD studio, it is Playing and Slaying, episode 77. Space Hulk. Or wait, I'm Space sorry. Hulk. Adepticon preview.
Adepticon.
But yeah. The most important event, and the one that sells out the quickest, is Space Hulk with Troy Weiss. Hopefully you got your tickets already, because if you didn't, you're too SOL. Bad. Just like if you wanted to stay at the Renaissance, gone in under 60 seconds.
Good movie.
Was it, though?
It was fun. It was a fun movie.
I have not seen it in probably 20. It's probably 20 years old, right? Maybe. Is it that old? Maybe not that old. So I might have to, like, somebody do research. Yeah.
I'm going to bring this full circle, though, in talking about Adepticon. Is it as good as Fast and the Furious?
I think it's better than Fast and the Furious.
Hopefully Tony and Will don't hear this episode.
Oh. 2000.
Nice.
Gone in 60 seconds was in 2000.
24 years.
Yeah, more than 20. I was not even, yeah. That's crazy.
All right. Well, let's get down to the meat and potatoes. And when you're playing and slaying, it's important to stay hydrated. I know you can't drink meat and potatoes, but, you know, what are you guys drinking?
Come on, Josh, what do you got?
All right, I got a Powerade. Sorry.
All right, that's good. What flavor, at least? Red? Red flavor?
Red. Yeah.
Red's always a good flavor.
What do you got, Troy?
I have good City Brewing. I found an old Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest. There's a little bit of glare. There we go. Marzen. Is that how you say that? Marzen Lager.
Marzen. Yeah.
Very nice.
A little bit of an eight. Yeah. So I got to get rid of this since it's now March and not October. So found this in the back of the fridge. So
we have moved through the fall and the winter into the spring. So yes, it is time to clear that out.
And this is good. It's got a little sweetness. I don't know how they do this. It's got a little sweet. It feel like sweetness to it, but really good Oktoberfest. All right, Ty, what does Ty got? Flowery can.
I'm drinking Blues Breaker. It is a Belgian style white ale from Eagle Park. So it's got a little bit of that, like wheat kind of wit beer. Very clean. Refreshing. Eagle Park continues to just do really good stuff. I don't know if I had to choose like between them or Third Space and only keep one, it would be a very difficult choice for me to make.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Eagle Park. They do good stuff.
I almost grabbed a pretty good amber from Third Space because I have a sixer of that. That's very good too.
For more shows like this, check out the Goonhammer Media Network. More info at media.goonhammer.com.
Let's talk about what we're playing, because we're not recording between the sheets. I'll start. So, because I've got a game that I actually really enjoyed. So, I think it was for Christmas, I got Nicole and my kind of a family gift. Dorf Romantik. It's a tile placing kind of casual cooperative game based on the computer game that was kind of a hit a couple years ago, where it's just kind of you're trying to expand like farm fields and forests and rivers and railroad tracks, and as you connect a number of tiles of the same type, you complete challenges and earn points. So they made it as a board game, and it kind of fits into that like cozy, I guess, category, because it's super like you just have a stack of tiles and you're trying to place them to fulfill challenges and score points. And then once the tile stack is done, the game's over and you kind of tally up where your score was. But they did something really cool where you record your progress and you track your score. And depending how you score, it gives you like completion or achievement points that you then fill in on a track, and you can choose to open different envelopes or boxes by going different ways in like a branching kind of map. that add new tile types or new challenge types or different scoring mechanisms. So it has this really cool kind of, it's legacy, but it's not, right? You're not really telling a story. You're just kind of expanding the game and the world. And it plays in probably under an hour. It was probably like, so super digestible, just really well done implementation of the computer game in a different way, because the computer game's obviously like a solo, you know, you just, I would sit here and play it in downtime or when I needed to just like zone out, because it was such a low, like low tax on like the brain. Like, although it's a puzzle, it's also very like artistic and cool, and the tiles, the art's really done in a neat way. So highly recommend if you're looking for something to play in a totally cooperative kind of low-key casual environment. But we got that out the other day and gave it a play, kind of had a lot of fun. So it'll be coming back, and I think it looks like there's a pretty high level of replayability, just how you divide up the tiles and how you can expand it. So
very cool.
That was a fun one to get to the table. Then we've continued our Frosthaven campaign, getting together with John and Troy and Josh. And I harass them almost every week to try to get together to play. And we are at a point where we need somebody else to retire. We really need either our Banner Spear or Bone Shaper to hang it up and start a new character.
And I need one more herb to do that, and just hasn't popped up for me yet. So I don't know. We'll slowly get there at some point, but it'll probably be like the last mission we ever play, and I'll retire,
right? At some point, I'm just gonna stack the deck. I'm gonna make the first four cards in any loot deck what he needs to get it.
To just move us in. It does, because we did get some momentum, right? It felt like we made a move because we retired a couple of characters and we got whatever, and we were able to make progress. And I feel like, and we've been right kind of at the end of some of the quest branches, right? I guess you can call them. So it does feel like, we are like, I don't know, like making progress. I mean, it's always kind of fun, but there was a little bit, I think, before Ty retired and then before I was able to retire my character, where we did feel like we were kind of like stuck for a little bit, really making progress. But now it feels like we kind of got it figured out around that. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, I'd like my new character, still trying to figure him out a little bit, but it's good. It's fun.
Definitely.
We've been playing some family games at home. The kiddos have been wanting to play games. And my oldest and my son have also been joining in. So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. It's usually just me and the youngest. So, we played Sushi Go, like a family version of family game night, Sushi Go. We played Get Bit the other day from Mayday Games. it's just silly fun, right? But it's fun to play something other than like Monopoly or Chutes and Ladder. You know, like let's get a decent game out there, right? Obviously we play Uno and Battleship and stuff. But Battleship's actually kind of fun with the kids because, you know, I start like teaching them little strategies, you know, like clumping all the ships together or like spacing them out along the edges or, you know, stuff like that. And they're like, oh, like I wrote the word high in my ships the other night, and my son was like blown away that you could do that. He's like, whoa, you wrote high. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a thing, you know? So, yeah.
You want to really blow him away?
Sure.
Weather's getting nicer, springtime.
Mm-hmm.
You make balloons and you put up a bed sheet outside and you play outdoor Battleship with lawn darts.
And the kids have to lay in the grid and you
throw the darts. No, they just get to toss them up and hope they don't hit their opponent on the other side.
I don't think you can get lawn darts anymore.
Well, I bet we can, and it'd right. be pretty cool. So sometime in the summer when Tiff is out of town, let's play outdoor battleship.
Sounds good.
All right.
I think you might be able to do it maybe with something that's not pointed. I don't know if you guys, I believe.
What's the
point? Well, I think, and I guess if you have kids, I think the guys on Dude Perfect actually did that, but they did it like colored, I don't know, like water balloons, but they were full of either ink or whatever. Mm. Yeah. And they did like almost exactly, I think, what you were talking about, Ty, where it was like kind of like a battleship thing where they were laying in the little spaces.
Oh, in the zone.
So, yep. Yep.
Nice.
That's funny.
We could use crossbows.
Ty wants to injure someone.
I know, injure somebody. Good. In the family game, I've been playing a lot of chess. Sarah and Ooh, I have we've okay. been breaking out to chess, and I'm not really good. I'm still better than her, which is okay. And we usually play with I pull out the chess clock, which is also the 40K clock, right? But we have a chess clock, and we play like speed chess, and then which is good because she doesn't have the attention span for like a 3-hour game of chess. So we put, 5 and 10 minutes on the clock and beats her. And I usually win. She does usually get me at least one. There'll be one time there where I totally miss, like, oh, look at that bishop on the other side of the board that just took out my rook or something. Like, it's good. So, yeah.
Nice. What else have we been? Oh, we got back to D&D last week after a bit of a short hiatus. We kind of missed a session and played, kind of wrapped up a not an arc per se, but at least a chapter as the group was kind of researching some cult activity. I don't know, Troy, what did you guys find down there in that tomb? Do you remember?
I'm going to see if Tuck ever pays attention to stuff he's not killing. Was there like a book? I feel like, was there a book? There was a portal. Book,
the shattered hourglass, the 13 skeletons. Yeah.
Oh, looked yeah.
like some dark ritual had completed before you got there.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And somebody got out. Yeah.
They freed the goddess of death. Yep.
Yeah.
You guys were late to the party. You chose to take care of one of the other locations. The world moves without you.
But we saved that location.
You did. You did.
We can't be everywhere. Wait, we have to be like Superman. We're going to have to run backwards really fast. And now that we're 10th time travel level.
Is always a good idea.
Yep. Oh, I bet you we could do that. We know high level. Yeah, that can only go. Only good things can happen if we do that. Wait, you've seen Harry Potter, that one, which is the one we just need the little thing. Hermione did it. What, nothing bad happened there.
You know, so I haven't actually seen all of the Harry Potters, and I've never watched any of them in their entirety without falling asleep and or getting frustrated at how terrible the world building is, how vanilla the magic is, and how it all could have been ended right away.
I sent Ty in a rant. I accidentally stepped into a rant. I am not a big Potter person either, but I know enough. I've seen enough of whatever the movie is, whatever, which one it is, the fourth, third one. I don't know which one it is,
but he hid that rant trap right in front of you. You didn't even see it.
You're a wizard, Harry. Barely. He's the most powerful wizard to have ever lived. Why is he so bad at taking care of things?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Levioso.
I'm not going to. But yeah, if you have any comments, send them to intern at Basement of Death. Oh,
yeah. I'll tell you about Harry Potter having read 0 books and watched maybe 5% of the movies.
Fell asleep during 3 of the movies. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Now, what we've been wanting to talk about in the games played the whole time was the special limited availability Space Hulk Adepticon Scenario Playtest 2024. at BOD Prime last Saturday night, just a few nights ago.
Boom.
Where all of southeastern Wisconsin's finest came out to attempt to stop the Tyranid threat, but really just to try to see if Troy and John could get it set up and ready and run through it in the time allotted. And if the players could get close after all their play testing to see if a bunch of hacks could come in and get close. But so we had Paul, a good friend of ours, Eric, and then myself and my son Landon came with. So the four of us took on the part of the Emperor's Finest against Troy and John, the Scourge of the Galaxy, the Tyranids. And I won't talk too much about the scenario because I don't want to spoil that much for anyone that might be playing it at Adepticon. But it's kind of a classic race against the clock. Try to get to the central area before something horrific happens.
Yeah. You basically described every space scenario ever, which is cool.
But what I did put some notes here, and I'm just going to read the four or five word entries. And many of this was from Landon's perspective.
Yeah. I think we have to react. I think we got a convert. I'm glad that Ty made the audible and brought him over because now he's converted, I think. So
seeing the BOD, he was blown away by all of Troy's stuff. The 3D printers enthralled him, to which he asked Troy instantly, how easy is it to 3D print? And then he looked at me and he's like, can we do this? We could do this. And then he was asking Troy various 3D print questions, I think throughout the night. I don't know.
Yeah.
How much he asked, but I think
I almost sent Ty home with one of mine, one of the four that I own. I almost said, I really don't use this one anymore. Why don't you just take it home?
I would have killed your character instantly in D&D. Tuck would just get Thanos snapped.
Yeah, but I think Josh, we may get some orders. Like Landon may now just start putting in some orders to me and you to like, hey, can you print this for me?
Hilarious. He did at the end of the night say Space Hulk was the best game ever. He chose to roll the Tyranid dice as a Marine player.
Tempting fate
every time, but it worked out. He came up with more, as he said, clutched up multiple times to beat John's rolls, which beating John Weiss in a head-to-head roll doesn't happen often. He killed two lictors, not one, two lictors.
Nice.
With shooting, which is very hard to do. We got to the boat first.
Yep.
And he didn't let me leave.
Yeah, I do want to. I mean, we did. Again, it worked out. I mean, there's always good and there's always many. I mean, the fun part of it, right? There's always these scenes, little scenes that happen throughout the thing. One of the awesome ones, I think it was the captain or the sergeant is up against whatever. I think it was a peer strain against that. John lays down double sixes because it was a sergeant because he has a shield. Couldn't so parry, he knocks it down. He knocks it down and whatever. And and John, of course, is like not going to make it easy. Like, oh, let's crush Landon's hopes and dreams. I'm going to roll double sixes. So you can't even parry, right? You can't, don't even bother parry or whatever. And I'm like, oh, this could be interesting. And Landon, like, yeah, he goes like, well, five. And he rolls a five. The captain's plus two. Seven kills him, whatever. So yeah, there were some really cool moments and I could just like, yeah, that worked out really good. So
yeah, so we were the Imperial Fists and we got to the destination first, and I made the comment that I was just getting the boat ready, and then the Landon kind of asked what that was in reference to, and I went upstairs and I think Paul told him how I betrayed my friends in a game of Outbreak Undead and left them to die on a cruise ship as I went back to the boat and got the boat ready. So I've heard about that maybe twice since Saturday, getting the boat ready.
It lives on. That's great.
It lives on. Yeah, that was only, what, probably 6 years ago or something ridiculous like that. But
yeah, yeah. I mean, granted, there have been other occasions now where I take that approach and get the boat ready. Because self-preservation is often the best way to being the hero, because then you get to write the story.
It's a strong motivator.
I liked it. But yeah, so Space Hulk, it was a fun playtest. We'll talk a little bit more about Adepticon prep and preview coming up, but be fun to see how it goes over at the con.
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, thank you guys for coming, because it was a good kind of line in the sand for me to, like, I was calling the dress rehearsal. I'm like, okay, we got to make sure we got it playable by then, and now I have a couple weeks to kind of do some final touching, get the last bit of paint on people and things like that, and maybe add a few more bling of stuff like that. But it was good, and it was always, yeah, it was good to have again Paul and Eric over too, and have them be able to run it, because but I, like I was telling you guys, that like this is the most fun that I've had in a while playing the Marines. Like, a lot of times I have fun running a scenario and watching people have fun and been doing that, but as John and I developed this, the new one, I think we both kind of just the terrain, I'm loving. I'm like, it was kind of like when you have it in your mind, right, you're kind of like, is this gonna work, and you try some stuff and whatever, and then as I've got a chance to play it and see other people play it too, I'm like, yeah, this is pretty close to where I was, the vision where I was trying to get out there. So again, yeah, I'm excited and a little scared to kind of get this all packed up and reassembled 90 miles from here in a couple of weeks. But I think we got a plan for that. But yeah, excited to just kind of show it off and get more people to run through. So
very cool. Speaking of getting it ready for AdeptCon, let's talk a little bit about hobby. And I'm going to start, because I haven't done much since we recorded last, but I have now homework before AdeptCon. So Troy gave me the gift of a whole train for Zombicide Dead or Alive, a 3D printed locomotive and train cars. So Zombicide, the Old West one, there's train tiles. But of course, in the BOD, we don't use tiles. So we have a 3D printed train that I need to assemble and paint before Adepticon.
Yep.
So this is my accountability moment, where I have a deadline. I have a box with train pieces in it, and I make it happen. Or I go buy a model train from Dreams.
I think a good evening, you'll be in pretty good shape.
Yep.
Cause it's not too bad, but it'll look cool. Yeah. It got, as I printed it, once I found it and I printed it, and then I was all excited. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be cool. What about you guys, Troy? I mean, I would assume your printers have been
nonstop
running themselves like ragged. You've probably gone through hundreds of spools of filament.
Yeah, I don't know if it's hundreds.
Dozens,
maybe. Yeah, I mean, not in the scheme of things. I mean, you get a lot out of a spool. My new print, I have a bamboo. I don't know if I think I've talked about that. But that prints about three times faster than most other ones. So you can really, I was talking to another guy from work when I first got it, and he's like, yeah, you don't realize how fast now you go through filament, because you can print like so much faster. So yeah, I should go back and see how many times I've ordered. I'll just keep, you know, as I get down, then I just put a new order in, and then more filament shows up at my door, and I just keep going around that. So but I have, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I think I printed the last piece a couple weeks ago. I got to the point where we were completely done, and and I had all the board pieces done. And then I decided I found this other really cool thing. I'm going to keep a little bit of a secret, so I won't talk too much, but Josh helped me print out some, using his resin printer, do some little pieces. It's going to be a little, we'll call it a gift that maybe players will get, that we've been, that I found and printed out. So that, cause I decided I didn't have enough to do. So I'm like, well, we got to do one more thing before we do that. And then I've just really been focused on, building, and I think I don't remember last time I probably had, I don't know, three of the squads done, I think. And so over the last couple weeks here, assembled another 15 Terminators and then got paint on them all. And I'm pretty close. I need to do some decals, and I think the Imperial Fist squad is the only ones that aren't, need a little bit of, need some detail. They're just kind of yellow at the moment. but that's the, get those. We probably will, most of the Tyranids, I'm not going to use the, we're not getting new Tyranids this year. Maybe that'll be next year. At some point you start to make some edits. So that'll be, that'll be the, even though there are some cool, in a dream, there was an idea where we replace all of them, but it's just a little bit too much to ask at this. So we'll have some really cool Terminators and all that stuff. And then maybe, hit a little bit of terrain. The terrain's all kind of just basically painted. I haven't done a lot, any detail or anything on that. We'll see if anything happens there.
Are we doing a hobby night this weekend?
Or? Yeah, hobby, right. Yeah, maybe we come up. Yeah, everybody just give them a dry brush and some whatever.
Bring metallics and a dry brush and
dry brush and just one go, end
and
yeah, and just
spot treatment
stuff up.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. I'll bring my wet palette. I'll bring my metallics.
And then we do some
selection of inks. You want oil stains on some of the grades?
There's there is a dream where I was like, yeah, some of these would be cool to take the room. Yeah, you could do like a really cool oil wash and whatever. And so
I told you, you give me a track, you give Bryce a track, and you say meet in the middle.
Yep.
Because I love terrain painting far more.
Well, I think what it'll be like, I want to do is like, I mean, in the scenario, like there's some of the rooms that are kind of the goals. Yeah. To get to. And I'm like, that's where it would be like, hey, just like take that end goal room and, you know, do that up. The hallways doesn't, you know, you could do a little bit of it, but focus on kind of the end goal spots. Yeah. It would be cool to kind of do some stuff up there too. So we'll see. Still enough work to do. And then I have some plan for how we get it all in transportation. And because we're not a glutton for punishment, also like Ty, I know you're getting some of the zombie, we have to get some zombie side games ready too, to bring down for Geek Nation tour. So we got most, those I've got mostly in pretty good shape. The last one of those, I got some paint on that. The other day whenever it was 70 or something like that. So it's be good. I'm like, this is probably why I don't like, I have like no hobby for a while. And then I have like
mega
three months of every night, every couple of whatever to make it harder on myself.
Well, I half jokingly told you that you need to actually get a hobby intern. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to talk to Terrace about like finding a local college student and giving them like internship credit, you know, a 4-credit internship with Geek Nation Tours / you know, Basement of Death Enterprises.
Yep.
And you just have them do hobby stuff for you for the school year.
It kind of sounds like Landon wants to learn.
No.
No.
No,
I did get Sarah to do. She did color the blips, the new, because of course we have new blips and Sharpie. She's a big fan of Sharpies. That's what she, and I'm like, Sarah, I have something for you to color, which is what you do all the time. And only took a couple, and finally somehow I got her in the right mood, and she cranked out however many there are over there, 25 or 30 of the the blip covers. So
nice. So Josh, you've been doing some hobby, but I think some of it's secret in a way. What is not secret hobby?
Yeah. So, just been doing a lot of resin printing. Some of the not secret stuff is like, wanting to put together, the five leagues,
Five Leagues from the Borderlands. Yeah.
Five Leagues from the Borderlands, warband for just to try it out. So I printed just a smattering of fantasy type miniatures and stuff and kind of scaled them up to fit, what Ty was planning on playing. So, yeah, hopefully I have enough that, you know, I'll prime them and paint them and stuff. But yeah, I've just been 3D printing, resin printing like a madman, lately. So it's just been fun, different. It's a completely different hobby. You think 3D printing is the same. It's a whole different world. So yeah, if you dabble in one and haven't done anything in the other, just know that it's flipping everything on the head. So yeah, or on its head. Yeah, there's the the whole cleaning and, you know, taking the supports off and making sure everything's good before you actually cure it. And yeah, like the whole, it's a whole messy mess. So yeah.
So I just put Five Leagues from the Borderlands quick. Sadly, I don't know how to share it for everyone on YouTube. Maybe we can add it.
I can throw it out. Of it.
So I was talking with Dr. Gabe, and he showed me some of dabbling with AI art he's been doing for like a brainworm of RPG world making or ideas. And he figured out how to get Dolly to make like a map for a fantasy world. And part of Five Leagues from the Borderlands is you like draw your map and generate it. But I think AI generative art is the way to go for a Five Leagues from the Borderlands map. So I'm going to maybe commission my AI art specialist doctor and see what we can get, giving it like the prompts from the book, kind of the rolling table, like roll it out basically, mm-hmm. and have like the terrain types and locations and use that to feed the generative AI to get like a map of your world. I think that would be really cool.
That looks pretty cool.
The side of that map looks very like Pacific ocean. Like there's like the Australia and kind of Indonesia and China and Japan. Like
But clearly,
the whole rest of it is different, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was clearly fed the kind of world map and then changed you definitely can see like the post Pangea split.
Yeah, it's very cool.
So thanks Dr. Gabe for inspiring me. But yeah, cool prints. I've got some of those here too. I need to prime for the resin stuff. Do I need to wash those before I prime them or paint them? Or
yeah, give them a good rinse and then let them dry for 24 hours just to make sure that there isn't anything on them. I mean, I washed them pretty good, but yeah, I would just make sure there isn't any left over.
And then just paint right on them, right? No primer.
You know, I would prime them, yeah.
Yeah.
No. I just talked about Dr. Gabe. I can't endorse priming.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you can paint right on it then.
Yep. Thanks.
No problem.
We need to have him on for a good hobby doctor segment.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of hobby doctors, crowdfunding. That's how we provide medical care in the United States. So what?
That's good. That's good.
Oh, only funny because it's true. That's the,
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I did go on a anti-capitalism rant at our game night too about Games Workshop and 3D printing. And I'm feeling many things these days, but how do we throw money at companies? What's coming down the pipe? What should we be looking to spend our dollars on?
new Thunder Road expansion. If you didn't get Thunder Road the first time, might as well get it now because it's a great game. Yeah, even before I saw it, Raph hit something up on our Discord. So I think, yeah, that I just automatically put my money on that to get, mostly just to get the, I'm not, although I wasn't that excited about the play mode. There's like a new play mode in the expansion, but I'm just a completionist and I just wanted, because there's a new crew in there and then you can play with all, yeah. So you can have like five people and all have the crew and whatever. I'm like, all right, just for that, it'll be worth it. So excited for that. Can never have enough. I might have to bring, you know, maybe, I don't know. I don't know if I have any room. I'm trying to think if I can bring Thunder Road to Adepticon or not, but that's a good, be a good fun filler game.
Definitely.
Don't have, because that last thing I want to do is actually think and play a game after, after 8 hours or 12 hours of Space Hulk. So,
right.
So recently ended Kickstarter and I'm pretty happy. I think I got Bryce to back it. I did not, but I was close and I might still lay back some of the boxes. So Song of Fire and Ice, Simon's, war game, Game of Thrones armies. They just kickstarted a skirmish level version of the game, that I think is just called Song of Fire and Ice Tactics.
Yeah.
So like the battle at the wall, and like you can use models from their range, but they also are releasing a whole bunch of other models for it. And it actually looks pretty cool. Song of Ice and Fire, I think, is rank and file, which could go either way on, but I do like the smaller miniature count. And that, to me, there's some really cool small battles in Game of Thrones. And I think recreating that's a really cool kind of way to go, and definitely it makes sense for them to do like another way to play that game, I think, is always cool. That's what I really like about Conquest. They have the rank and file, but then you can take the guys off and their squares and put them onto like their circle base and play First Blood or whatever they call their skirmish game as well. So I like that kind of when you have that flexibility. It's really what Age of Sigmar is missing. It's a good skirmish level game, not Warcry, which is different. But anyways, yeah. So I think that was out. I'm likely gonna late pledge and get a few of the pre-order things. So
yeah, I mean, I saw you guys throw it out there. I looked. I was kind of interested, but not enough to get in. I mean, the only reason for the Kickstarter is to get the giant dragon, really, is what it felt like. Because I'm always like, well, if people play it and excited, it's not like it won't be available. So it's
right.
Like,
right.
I was like, oh, I can always.
And because it's Simon, it'll likely be on your friendly local game store shelf before you have your
right
box at home. Yeah.
That's actually why I didn't.
Yeah.
Kickstarter. Yeah. And the same thing, like there's some cool stuff in the, you know, Kickstarter only. But nothing that I'm ever, and like, I do not need yet another giant dragon, right? Or something, whatever, right? It's like, like, yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm sure they got a lot of people, just like, what was the Marvel one, right? When they did Galactus and everybody bought the giant Galactus.
Yeah, or like Death May Die and the huge Cthulhu.
Oh, the huge Cthulhu, right? Yeah,
that's what I was thinking of too.
Yeah, they know they know exactly how to get people, so.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Looked interesting. Speaking of things that look interesting, any other items before we dive into the library? Should I go first, Troy? So we'll continue to build the suspense for what you're going to share with us.
Yep.
That I've been building suspense for an hour. So Lorcana into the Inklands, the second expansion, but third set for Lorcana, released February like 23rd. And it was available everywhere at MSRP. So either the collectors have moved on and been like, this isn't going to hold value, or they figured out production. I don't know what. I don't know any numbers behind it. But it is available at regular retail pricing pretty much everywhere. And it was available on release day. It was like... Mm-hmm. Every problem has been solved with Ravensburg Burger or whatever, their production woes from the first set, we'll call it set and a half, because the expansion, the first one, New Chapter, ended up kind of stabilizing and being not ridiculous after the initial print run.
Yep.
But yeah, they introduced some cool location cards, like sideways cards that you can add into your decks and play cards at. Some pretty cool adds. It's interesting to see they are expanding each time with like new rules and different mechanics, similar to if you look at the history of Magic the Gathering, how they add stuff in and you know, increase playability. Bought a box at Board Game Barrister here in Greenfield. Went there after some lunch with my brother on his birthday, and like I bought a box of that, and Landon and I opened the packs over the course of the week, and you know, now we'll kind of, I'm looking at them set out there. I've organized like the first set and the second set to see like what cards I'm missing. And so we're definitely, I'm treating it more like collecting than building a bunch of random decks and stuff. But yeah, Into the Inklands dropped.
Cool. Are you net positive on your investment yet?
Yeah. I mean,
cause I know you got a couple of really good cards that were
so I have
financed any more decks. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I have two of the Elsa enchanted cards from like the first run, which are the foil full art that at one point had I think been over a grand. Now they're probably like $400 or whatever, but someday it could be more. So I mean, with those, and then a enchanted like Tinkerbell from the first set, and a couple other like $50 cards, right? Yeah, I'm way up on the, you know, four boxes I think in total that I bought between the three sets. So
there you go.
We'll see if it holds any value into the future. Like,
but yep.
Yeah, you just the
speculation
never know, right?
Part, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if a card is going to hold value outside of their initial like promo cards that they did, which were super limited, like that will be the card from set one that forever would be like, obviously saying it's the Black Lotus of the set is silly. Like, but like if there were to be a card that at some point is super valuable from their first set, it's going to be that Elsa full art, card. So
I think Tinkerbell would be high up there too. Like just as an iconic Disney character, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. It just remains to be seen how long do they keep going, how long does it stick around. But as a Disney thing, it likely does keep some collector value far into the future. But what that is, who knows?
Right.
And how long do you got to hold it? Like I'll be dead and gone, and maybe Landon will be in his 50s, and it'll be Antique Roadshow will be a Twitch stream. In VR. Oh. It'll be a VR streamed show where you bring your NFTs to display of real things. You have real things made into NFTs and then bring them on to the VR broadcast show.
Maybe. I'm just thinking like that should be like, we should like somehow get a room at next to the auction at Gen Con and do some version of the like Hobby Gamers Antique Roadshow, right? People bring their stuff. And because I think it would work both ways. You'd get the like, yeah, there'd be some cool finds there. And then the better ones are the people that bring stuff that they think is worth everything. And you're like, yeah, it's worth $2.53. Mm-hmm.
We just saw one auction for $3.
$3.
Ten minutes ago. Yeah,
10 minutes ago, and you see their face drop because they're like they had their $300.
But this was a copy of such and such that I got at Free RPG Day in 1997. Free RPG Day.
Yep. It's only valuable if somebody else wants it. That's the.
Speaking of valuable that somebody else wants, I need you to tell me about
all right
sandbox.
So, and this is just total, well, I won't say it's total luck because I'm sure there's algorithms that basically trace everything I do and know everything I look at the internet, and Instagram knows. So I happen to be in my Instagram feed, and what do you know, like, pops up is this thing called Dragon Sandbox, which is an immersive tabletop gaming experience in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I'm like, what? And I immediately grabbed the link and dropped it in our show notes to show Ty, because I'm like, well, maybe this is Ty's side gig that he's not telling us about. And basically, it looks like it's the, I mean, we've talked about some of this before. It's basically the pay-to-play D&D. They're curating, you know, basically D&D sessions at a local, are you familiar with the Chef's Table in downtown, somewhere in downtown Milwaukee? Looks like a little, some kind of a small, restaurant with a lot of character. I've never been in there, but just looking at the pictures has definitely a lot of interesting character around it. But yeah, they have, again, there were four dates, a couple of them are past. Well, one's past and one of them is this weekend, March 10th, to date ourselves here. But you pay about $50 a seat for a 4-hour session, or you can buy a whole table of six. And they it sounds like they provide the GM and the location and even characters, and do kind of like a one-shot deal. And again, depending on what your level is, they, you know, it sounds like they'll tailor it to whether you're novice or kind of more expert people to do it. So yeah, no experience. We can't endorse or whatever, or deny anything about it, but just kind of hit my radar, and interesting thing. The only thing I'm interested in, and again, right. I think if you're selling it, maybe you would, I don't know, maybe this is the classic Games Workshop, no, you know, hands only. Like, I would think maybe you would tout your GMs. Like, wouldn't you put like your GMs create, maybe not, maybe that gives them a lot of options about that, but I feel like you would use that as a selling feature, right? Would be like, hey, here's the actual GMs that are doing it. You'd right. think, and I don't see anything about that. Just, it does say, you know, dedicated game master. Again, they're trying to say it, but, you know, I feel like that's who I would be. It's like, you'd think you could click through and say, here's the people that we have on our staff, yeah. right, that run yeah. games. That would be, that's where I would
doing this for how
right,
long?
That's right. So that's the only thing that gives yeah. me a little bit of a pause, like, around some of that, but interesting. Yeah, so I don't know. All right, so I know Ty was reacting, and I gave him time now to react and read a little bit more.
I think it's cool to see, like, but I have questions about the DMs, the adventures. It says like simplified experience. I wonder, like, what is the experience, right? Like, mm-hmm. what do you sit down and play? Is it, and it says they're all like one shots. It looks like every event is D&D. I don't know if they're planning on branching out, and that's yep. just who they have or what. But I haven't heard of Chef's Table, but it does look like a cool spot on 3rd Street. So, I mean, yeah, I honestly don't know what to expect. I think it's really cool to see.
We should maybe this summer try it.
Right. Yeah. If there's some dates, we might have to like
get 4 or 5 or 6 of us together. Throw,
yeah. Just, yeah. And,
I'm going to request a naval adventure.
Like a belly button?
No, like the ocean, Josh.
Oh,
no.
Like an orange?
I want to get the boat ready.
An orange. You're exploring a giant and there's a cave. Yeah. You find out you're in it,
and there's oranges in it.
An orange, and you find out, yeah, you're in a giant's belly button. The whole adventure,
yeah, yeah. 2023 founded. I mean, it
looks pretty. Yeah, yeah, like this is fresh. So yeah, we may have to do some research, and mm-hmm.
I almost want to drop a line.
Deductible.
Like,
if we do this, it'll be tax deductible because it'll be
well, if we make our expense. Schedule C. Plain and slaying,
but yeah,
we or don't a really 1B do that, or whatever. So. Yeah, we need to register as a nonprofit, a charitable gaming organization.
Basement of Death LLC.
But yeah, pretty awesome to see here in Milwaukee. More to come. Maybe someday we can do a review or find out who's responsible for this and talk to him.
Or maybe you become one of the DMs.
Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-mm. Go deep cover.
Mm-hmm. I guarantee they can't pay me enough to make it worth my while to DM for different strangers every Sunday.
Fair enough.
All right. Let's go to the library. What are we reading, listening to, watching? What's new and exciting in the media that we consume?
I'll jump in first. I've been going to bed quite early lately, and I have an exam I'm studying for, so I haven't been doing a whole lot of fun reading, except for Babel. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm three quarters of the way done. I've hit like some really key points in that in that book, so really fun, really enjoying it. But yeah, it's good. I like it. Rebecca Kwong, like everything she's written that I've read, I've loved, so she can do no wrong in my eyes. But definitely. Beyond that, I haven't been doing a whole lot of reading, listening, or watching. So
hadn't you read or started Neuromancer recently?
Oh yeah, I completed that. Yeah, I finished
that up.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. Yeah, that was good. I liked that a lot.
All right, Troy, coin flip for who goes first. Cool.
I'll do it. I'll go. Heads. So it's come to an end. Spoilers: Horace is dead. The End and the Death, Volume 3.
What?
Yes, but well, there was no spoilers. When did you
know I was there the day?
Yeah, the day
that Horus.
The day Horus slew the Emperor.
Slew the Emperor.
I think I've told that story before. I can put myself in the I know exactly where I was, what I was doing, however many, what the year was, 14, 15 years ago. When I opened that book up and read that line. And so it was interesting to come to the end. And I had talked about a little bit last time around initially, again, turning the End and the Death into three volumes. Did it need to be three volumes? But in the end, I'm actually kind of glad it was, like, you didn't want it to end. Like, you didn't want, like, because it's been such a, you know, whatever, 60 book, 15 year trip. I can see where Abnett was like, how do you just finish this in one with one, you know, one 500 page book? That's not really going to do it. So he did, you know, he's made an epic, right? He created this epic. Yeah. Does it need to be 3,000 pages? Maybe not. Maybe it should have been 2,500. Maybe it should have been 2,000. I don't know. But in the end, he hit all the points. I think there's always gonna be criticism and do better, but I enjoyed the ride, and he brought it home, and that's it. Now I'm a little, it's just really weird to not have any more Heresy book. Like, it's just really, it feels a little bit weird after a decade or more of always like, hey, we're on this road and on this trip, right? And you had momentum and whatever, to have something kind of come to an end after that, all that time, is a little bit, yeah, it's like, wow. It's like, I don't know. Like, yeah, now I have all this open in front of me. What am I going to go read? So
Malazan.
I've already been in the, down that path, and yeah, it could take me another 10 years to catch up through that. but what I did go is I did jump in, and you've talked about it, is I did grab Hunger of the Gods. Is fun to jump back into that world to get ready for the third book, which hasn't been quite announced yet, I don't believe. So I should be ahead of that to get to there. So John Gwynn, What's the first book? Shadow of the Gods.
Shadow of the Gods.
Yeah. Second book, Hunger of the Gods. Interesting how they brought more. Again, you guys have read them, I think, both, but I was interested to see more point of view characters starting to appear in this. So I'm only about maybe now, I'm not even a third in. So interesting to kind of do that. But again, love that series and where it's going to go. I talked a little bit about Rebecca Kwan. I read Yellowface that I think Ty had talked about. I got done with that. I had an interesting where it was interesting. I can't say I enjoyed reading it, but it was kind of like a car accident. It's like you couldn't really not finish it and kind of not do it. So I will leave it at that. It's good in what it is. It's just because, again, it's the first person point of view. You have a protagonist who's not maybe a very likable character, which is an interesting thing. But there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of dialogue. I mean, a lot of commentary. She's making a lot of commentary about a lot of things, about how the, novel writing and author, that whole publishing industry work. She makes a lot. There's a lot of stuff around the story too, that kind of, and a lot of social media. There's a lot of stuff in there to digest and do that. But yeah. I can't say I enjoyed it. I can't say I felt good. It's like, right. It's just, you're not going to come out feeling good. You're going to come out feeling but there is something to it, right? Like you do have a sense of like, oh, okay. I get what she was trying to get at, but.
One of the things I love that she does is she makes like depth to her characters with like, some sort of caste system or something like racism or some, some other thing that makes the character like, besides, whatever else is happening in the story, there's something going on with the character personally that adds to the flavor she just does an excellent job of making you feel that. Right. And I don't know. She's great.
Cool. So those are the big ones. Other kind of fun stuff. Been getting into, can kids start Gravity Falls on Disney? It's a little older series. It's one of the things that Sarah and I will both sit down and making our way through that. I tell her not to binge it. I'm like, you can't binge it. You have to sit. You can only watch it when I watch it, so I don't get through all that. The other day, we do have kind of a funny, I will call it, an anime group at work of some people, and we all went a few weeks ago. We all went to the Cowboy Bebop movie. It was in the theaters. They were doing a limited run, I think, around the country. Of the animated movie, not any live action stuff, the original. And it was a lot of fun. I haven't watched a lot of Cowboy Bebop in years and years. I mean, the original series is animated series is awesome. It was fun just to go and see it on the big screen and revisit some of those characters and some of that. And then non-fantasy, non-fiction, how I've been getting through the nights painting is I just been working through Suits on Netflix. Just enjoying that, like everyone else in the whole world, enjoying that series now that it's back. I never had any reason to watch it or even knew it was on my radar back when it was a show on, I think it was on USA Network or something, right? I don't know when it was on, but yeah, on Netflix, like everyone else, I've been kind of working my way through that and just enjoying it. It's a fun, like, just to have on kind of in the background while I'm painting away. So
interesting. I might have to watch that. I never did.
There's some, it's, I don't know, just kind of cool characters. And it's not, they're nothing too deep, but I love, like, they do a good job with the character is definitely iconic. Yeah. That's cool.
Sweet.
Yeah. Never watched Suits. Maybe I'll check it out. One of my favorite shows that I think is due for like a Netflix run, it only ran a couple seasons, is called Sports Night. Sitcom, but kind of an ESPN type, like Sports Center news show. Love that show. Like the writing was phenomenal. That's due for a Netflix. Like,
yeah, this kind of come out. And well, the other thing you guys mentioned in is the Bear on Hulu.
So good.
I just But that's a hard, like, I can't, like, I've been slowly watching it. Cause it,
yeah, same.
Like, you guys are like, you got me like, oh, this is going to be kind of a light. And you're like, no, this is heavy. This is heavy. This is, and I watch one and then I'm like, oh, I don't like, I'm not emotionally ready to go into the next one, but I want to find out what happens. So I think it's something I'm going to slowly kind of make my way through. But yeah, I know that got a lot of Emmy nominations and things around that. So yeah, I have to
super recommend good. That too. Yeah.
Nice. Well, I'm going to go in reverse. I'm going to talk what I've been watching. So I'm a huge fan. And as some people hate the show, some people love it. It has like a cult following, but it ran for 15 seasons. So, I mean, they did something right. Supernatural. So Landon is probably a little younger than I'd like for him to watch the show, but like he watches a lot of stuff that is worst likely. So we're watching Supernatural and we're on season 4. And if anyone is familiar with the show, the first 5 seasons were all that they originally kind of created as an arc. Everything after that was just like added. So like the first 5 are really, really good, kind of how it fits together as a story, but he's enjoying it a lot. Nicole and I are enjoying it because she had watched like up to season 2 or 3 maybe. And I've watched it probably 2 or 3 times through all 300 episodes or whatever over the years. But so watching like an episode or two every week. And then F1 is back. So I'd been watching Drive to Survive or whatever, the show to get hyped for it. And then Bahrain was Saturday. So Landon and I watched that. And now I think Jeddah Street Course in Saudi Arabia is this weekend. It'll be Sunday morning our time. So pretty cool to have F1 back because that's just something every weekend we sit down and watch the race together. And then I went down a road, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, with listening to a book on Audible. Bryce had always... We had our Lit RPG show. Bryce talked about how much he enjoyed this series, He Who Fights With Monsters. I kind of wish he was here so I could have a little friendly banter. It wasn't bad. I could see how the series could grow on me potentially. But after like 24 hours of book 1, I don't know how long it's going to be until I go back to the well. Like it did some things really well. Others, I was kind of like, there was one moment where I was listening to it and they used some kind of trope, and I don't want to say it was racist, but it was kind of scary. It was the easy way to go. Yeah. Right. And I went, oh, come on. Like audibly to Audible when they did it. And like, but then there were other parts that was like, oh, that, you know, that's cool. Some interesting stuff there. So I want to have a dialogue with Bryce and just see kind of what his thoughts were on some stuff and where the books go. But I don't know. I don't have credits now. I've got plenty I want to do. So I don't know that I'll go there to that well again anytime soon. But, you know, it says all things like different people like different things. Yeah.
I read part of, or I listened to the first chapter or two or whatever it was, and
it starts really slow.
It didn't grab me. I was kind of like, I moved on. So,
it did pick up steam. It got like, it was one of those that got better as it went. I think, I don't know anything about the author, but I'm going to assume this was one of their first forays into like writing or lit RPGs or whatever. And I feel like there's kind of a tempo and like a tone, like the voice doesn't establish itself for a while, sure. But I'm not a literary critic. I just read a lot. Yep. Then nonfiction, I've been trying to intersperse some stuff in. I listened to, and I also picked up the paperback, The Whole Brain Child. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that as parents, but it is kind of a neuroscience approach to parenting. It talks about how children's brains develop and how you know, left and right brain and upstairs functioning and downstairs, like the different segments of the brain, how they relate and how children's emotions are developing as their brain develops, and how you can use different techniques to, you know, to connect with like the right side, which is kind of the emotional response, and establish a baseline to then bring the left side, which is like logic and reasoning and talking through things. And if there's a flood in the one side and they're overwhelmed with emotions, you're never going to be able to, just some things about psychology and neuroscience and how it relates. It was super interesting. It had been recommended to me by someone. And I think they've also done one, because the book's like 12 years old or so. I think they've done one more focused on like preteen and adolescence. So that's, I might check that out too. But they go through age groups, kind of, you know, toddler through 12 is kind of the range in the book, but pretty good. Then once a year, I think I read a book that just kind of stands out. And for whatever reason, I really like it. And I add it into my, you know, my, like if I had a shelf of like my favorite books, you know, or maybe it's a case of my favorite books. I read, I'm going to hold it up, The Black Tongue Thief by Christopher Buhlmann. Christopher Buhlmann is a American horror author. He writes, he has a book about a vampire in 1970s New York, about like cults or something that operate on the highway, like different horror books. But he took a stab at like grimdark fantasy. And he wrote a book that felt like Pat Rothfuss, Joe Abercrombie, and maybe like Scott Lynch sat down in a room and started pitching each other ideas and crafting like a collaborative story. And I use those three names because I think they're all phenomenal authors. Mm-hmm. And this book just grabs bits and pieces. It has a really unique magic system. It has a really likable, but like kind of a bad guy main character. He's a thief. He's indebted to the Takers Guild, which is like they control politics and they're a thieves guild. They've tattooed a hand on his face, which entitles anyone who sees him to slap him like in a tavern, basically get a free drink like on his account at a bar because he's in debt. And there's other things they'll tattoo to show, like a fist, somebody can just punch you, whatever. Like, so there's this whole political scene that the guild controls. And the tagline on the back is Kinch na Shannock, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It has this Irish kind of Gaelic Celtic like flair to it. Owes the Taker's Guild a small fortune for his education as a thief, which includes but is not limited to lockpicking, knife fighting, wall scaling, fall breaking, lie weaving, and trap making, plus a few small magics. His debt has driven him to lie in wait by the old forest road, planning to rob the next traveler that crosses his path. And like that's where the action takes off. Then things happen, and before you know it, the other part it says is your smallest mistake could become your biggest adventure. That's on the front cover. And his mistake is lying in wait for that next victim. And then from there, the story takes off. The world building is incredible. The dialogue is really good. Like I was actually blown away. It was a book I bought because I feel like maybe it was John Scott who had told me about it. And I think he gave it like 4 stars and said, yeah, there's some decent. I connected with the book and I can't stop talking about it. I'm going to reread it. And I think everyone should read it. But this feels like last year when I found Shadow of the Gods and I was like, you guys got to read this book. This is I'm using my 2024. You got to read this book here in the beginning of March. But really, really liked it. So
cool. Yeah. All right. Adding it to my list here. So
yeah, same.
No idea how the narrator is on Audible. I read it and I read it in a very short time. It was one of those books where I like stayed reading longer than I should have, or I think I brought it to work once and read it for like an hour when I had a spare gap in my day, like just to eat lunch and read. So yeah,
very cool.
The library. Now we're going to take a break so you can all go and order that on Audible or Amazon or at your local bookstore, and then come back and talk a little bit about Adepticon. And we're back, and we're going to talk kind of Adepticon plans, real high level, bulleted lists, couple things we're doing, what we're excited for, and then we're going to be out, because when we come back and record again, it's going to be kind of the Adepticon afterglow. Everything's going to be happened. Space Hulk's going to be done and dusted. You know, the food will be consumed. The Malort shots will be still on the table where Raph poured them. But we'll do a full recap. So this is kind of our like quick and dirty preview before we head off in a couple weeks for Adepticon. So we've talked about Space Hulk prep, playtest, hobby left to do. Troy, tell us about the events, when you're running, what you're running, and then likely the rest is just the
what else just around there. So Space Hulk every day, all the day. No. So we're running two events a day for Thursday, Friday. Saturday, one whatever, late morning, and one kind of late afternoon, early evening. We may be doing a couple other friends and family stuff around that, but generally, back to back for 3 days, where that's all he is, and we'll pace ourselves. My goal this year was to pace myself a little bit. So that, like, that's all I'm doing, and I'm fun. Like, I have a blast running it, but also just make sure that you can, that Saturday is as good as Thursday. Make sure we have time to eat and drink and sleep and do that stuff too. So it is a little bit. So that's about it. I'm not doing it. I don't think I have any events. Sometimes I'll do a hobby or something else like that. I don't know if you guys have any hobby events or anything else like that, but just Sunday's kind of the cool down, do some shopping, hang out and some of that stuff. So
Josh, what kind of Space Hulk are you planning?
I'm going to Space Hulk at the friends and family one of the evenings, and then my only other events, ticketed events, are two airbrushing classes. I figured, like, I've just been self-taught from, you know, beginning of my airbrushing. You know, I've taken tips from you guys and from Bryce and whoever. But yeah, I figured I'd actually get a class. You know, I feel like I'm at that point where I know what I'm doing enough to get by, but let's step it up a notch. So I'm taking two airbrushing classes just to see, you know, what they can teach me, and maybe I'm doing something completely wrong and I should be doing it a different way. So that's my goal, is just to learn a little bit more about the hobby.
Do you know who's teaching? Who's teaching your
Lovejoy. Adam Lovejoy, okay. Aaron Lovejoy.
Yeah, I think it's Aaron. I think it's Aaron
Lovejoy. But, yeah. And the other one I don't remember. I'd have to look. I forget.
It'll be good. It'll be interesting to hear. I don't know who your other one is, but I've never done a class with Aaron Lovejoy, so it'll be good to get some perspective. I would say Caleb. Caleb is who I've done a couple times. I've learned a lot. So
I didn't see him or Kat in the courses, at least during event registration. I didn't see any CK Studio stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're not there, or if they're doing it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And I know Kat's working for Army Painter now, at least in the US. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so friends and family, I got put in the Outcast group on Saturday. Everyone was like, I'm going to change. Can I change to Thursday? Can I change to Thursday? No, I'm kidding. But I see we don't have a special guest. So
Yes, you do.
No, you have special guests on explicitly on the Thursday.
Your special guests are named already.
Yeah, me. I'm the special guest.
Right.
You just haven't told them yet.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. It'll be awesome.
I was telling Josh, I am almost more excited for the friends and family tables because playing with my friends that I, again, you guys, whatever, but a lot of people that I don't get to see as often, and
yeah,
throwing down is going to be both of our friends and family tables are going to be a blast. So
for sure,
Dibs on the Salamanders.
Yep, yes. Eric warmed them up for you on Saturday. So.
Did they do well?
They did do well. They did pretty good.
Good.
I think I got one. I got one or two. And did they leave somebody? I can't remember if he left somebody. He might have left somebody. So it was good.
Sweet.
But yeah, so friends and family, Space Hulk helping run some Zombie Side for Geek Nation Tours at their welcome dinner Wednesday. Man, I don't know what else I'm doing. Events. Oh, I signed up for Age of Sigmar, the Gibbering Dome. So Paul Wagner, a good friend, part of the Mortal Realms crew, has run a narrative event for the last several years of Age of Sigmar at Adepticon. Thursday, I think it's play three games, do some cool stuff. So Danner and I both are in that event. It runs from like 10 o'clock to 8 o'clock or something on Thursday. And I have an airbrush class on Saturday. It's like airbrush 101. I'm basically just doing it because I think the last time I touched an airbrush was Adepticon last year. And I want to use mine, but I need to like set up the compressor and stop just being scared of it. So my hope is maybe I can do this and then be like, okay, I can do this and set it up and use it some more. But yeah, other than that, pretty low key. Hopefully, I really want to do a learn the play kind of Shatterpoint more than the demo I did before, because I think that's a game I want to buy into and start playing. Probably bring some Crisis Protocol models for like a Malort Tower throwdown with Raph at some point. Just hang out. I'm keeping my dance card pretty open by not having like the team tournament or anything. So we'll see. Let's talk. So that's events in Space Hulk. Mm-hmm. What about like any vendors, any games, any areas that you're pretty excited to check out this year?
I mean, we always try and do, I always try and do a walk around and something. I mean, like last year, the Crisis Protocol tables were ridiculous. Like some of the smaller games, like the Infinity tables were like the terrain on some of the smaller ones. Again, part of it is because you're not running 100 some tables, right? You can put a little more energy into each one of the tables. So there's some really cool, even though they're still organized play kind of things, right? There's some really cool tables. So if you get a chance to walk through that, it's always good. And then, you know, I always strongly, it's just that, you know, in some ways tradition every year, Saturday night, making sure you can go when they do the team tournament kind of display parade, mm-hmm. you can call it, right in the hallway on Saturday night. That again, you can I'm always just amazed at the creativity that different, you know, that the different groups put together to put out there. Some of those, you know, some of those displays and dioramas are just unbelievable and over the top what they do. And so that's, again, just really cool to see. And again, it'll also be, right, we have a Golden Demon going on too, right? So again, if you can get a chance just to go wander through those.
You know what I'm more excited cases, to see from a painting contest? Atomic Mass Games is doing their... Mm-hmm. Of the Mighty, I forget the like Crisis Protocol, and I think you'll see some really phenomenal display pieces there that people are doing. I don't want to say it'll challenge Golden Demon, but I think Golden Demon's had some pretty big name artists be pretty frustrated with how they've done things the last couple of years. So I'm interested to see what is what there.
Yeah, it'll be, well, there's going to be good
painting. Oh yeah, around, yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, good. I mean, and I think even Creature Caster does, does their thing again, because they're, I mean, their miniatures are crazy too. And then, yeah, you see what some people do are able to do with them from the paint. So again, yeah, even, yeah, again, if there's just so much, even if you're not playing, there's a lot of things to do and hang out. And again, there's the whole hobby. I don't ever get to spend time down in the little hobby area under the stairs, but there's also opportunity to grab a model and grab some paint and mess around down there.
Yeah. Sure. See if you can find Danner and Bryce doing a paint a competition piece in a day challenge. You never know what you'll see. Josh, anything you're looking at or targeting to make sure you do a perusal, a walk by?
I, you know, when Bryce and Danner did that last year, it got my juices flowing to like try to do a model, maybe not in a day, but like over the course of, you know, the 3-4 days. So yeah, I might spend some time in the hobby area just trying to knock something out. So
nice.
But yeah, just my dance card is also fairly open, so I'm kind of excited to hang out and maybe play some games and maybe do a little hobby, just kind of hang out, you know.
Now, are you there for the whole weekend?
That's the plan. Yeah.
Nice.
I will be there. Left the family at home this year, so.
Right on. Let's yeah, I think my goal is to not buy into any like new games.
Good luck.
I really don't want to start something new. I don't want to start Conquest. I don't want to start
again.
Judgment again. I don't want to start, you know, any of these games again. But that's my goal, really, is to go through the vendor hall and not buy a whole line of paints or
But you don't need to, yeah, you don't need to buy a whole line. But I mean, that's what I do. I mean, because I rarely, again, same, I don't usually try and buy into a game or something there. But there is a lot of times some cool, you know, arts and paint and different things that you may not always see. So I think like last year, I went through and did buy a bunch. I wasn't like Ty and said, you know, here, give me one of everything on the monument paint shelf. But I, you know, kind of cherry picked here and there are things that you're not seeing. Maybe it's some weathering stuff. Maybe it's some other, because AK had a big booth there. Again, you're not, they were, you know, it was full retail, whatever, what you were paying. And but there was stuff that I just don't see every day in our normal shops around here. So it was like, hey, pick up a little bit of that. So I always find that fun to just kind of walk around and find, yeah, little either hobby or game accessories or things like that, or arts and paints kind of things that maybe you don't see everywhere, or you just want to try it and then decide if you're going to really buy in and buy, you know, one more sets and some of that stuff too. So
for sure. Then I think part of the what to see is like who, right? I know I'm pretty excited. I've been out of the like competitive Warhammer Age of Sigmar thing. I don't do events really anymore. So it's kind of like a reunion chance to go see some really good friends that, you know, are likely around the Age of Sigmar tournaments throughout the weekend, spend some time there. You know, other people, I think it'll be a slightly different attendance. I think like Gabe probably won't be there, and I know Paul won't be there. Like, but you know, the crew that is there from our gaming group will be fun to hang out with. Yep. And I don't know, Josh, about our BOD Steakhouse dinner. Like, no Dr. Gabe, no Paul. It might be Danner and me sitting across the table from you with your, like, you know, little, like, 4-ounce filet medallion. Because Tom won't be there.
Is Bryce will be there, right?
I don't know what his deal is for the weekend.
I don't know either.
But yeah, so we'll have to plan accordingly. We might need a romantic table for three.
Yeah, I'm good with it. Maybe we can recruit the Weiss brothers to come.
I think Eric has come a few times. Maybe he'll mm-hmm. come hang out. The Weiss brothers won't because they're doing Space Hulk like all the time.
Yeah.
We'll and see. Troy we do have our Friday evening. We are trying to like have our downtime. So.
Oh, we could do Friday night.
So maybe. Yeah, we can do. Yeah, we'll just have find a place Ben and John where like can eat
steak.
Well, yeah, they do. Ben for sure. I don't know. Yeah, John, I'm not so sure. If you're ready,
they have really good. I bet we could find fish for you.
Turn it into a. I don't eat fish.
You don't eat even any fish.
No, I don't eat anything. Yeah, nothing with a face.
Fish don't have faces. This is ridiculous.
And I don't know what Johnny. John only eats meat wrapped in a hot dog, so I have no idea what. Wow.
All right, so hotel woes. I did put that, and not woe like excited.
Whoa.
So the Renaissance sold out literally in a minute and 50 seconds, mm-hmm. Which was highly disappointing and almost made me rage quit entirely. Because I have a tendency when I can't get housing at a convention to rage quit the convention mm-hmm. and not attend for at least a year or two. So I'm off-site, which is part of the allure of Adepticon for me is always the convenience. So that's a big reason why I'm not doing a bigger tournament, like not a ton of events, because you don't have the ability to like just go chill at the room for a few minutes.
But the good news is we're at the same hotel. So
yeah, we'll have our off-site party.
Yeah, right.
In a hotel lobby bar that isn't as cool as the one at the Renaissance, but maybe stays open past 10 o'clock.
Yeah, right. It might. we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, you might come back and tell us stories about how the Hyatt's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, perhaps, but yeah, Adepticon. I think it prompted the discussion of have they grown? I don't know how long they're signed through the Renaissance or what they could do next, but. Like, do they need to consider a bigger space now that they are like truly outside? They've outgrown the Renaissance. Yeah. Like, they have events other places, and like,
yeah, they use every inch of it. So,
we just need to get some people that get like food poisoning or something, so they don't come back, and then we'll have hotel space next time.
It'll be interesting. Yeah, again, and I haven't gone to any of the real staff meetings or stuff there. And again, they don't really, even in the staff meetings, they don't give us a lot of behind the scenes because it's more about the bigger group. But the Adepticon core group that worries about all that stuff is there. But I think they're at the Renaissance for a while yet. I think they're there. So I think there's somewhat around what is the, you know, is there another option or something unless you go to Rosemont or something else like that? But then that's a whole different ball of wax, right? And
I don't know enough about it to speak intelligently other than they feel like they're at their mm-hmm. their cap and it's hard to grow. And I think you always want to be in a growth mindset, but we'll see what happens. Yeah, Adepticon. It's close, man. We're
Not even 2 weeks. I'm out 2 weeks from today. Yep.
Oh wow, yeah. The 20th, yep. not the 24th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So by the time this comes out, it'll be less than 2 weeks. For everybody on there. So excited. Yeah, it is
second best 4 days in gaming.
Yeah, you're right.
Because BODCON.
For this year. BODCON will surpass this year. But this, Adepticon has surpassed Gen Con for me a while ago. And now BODCON is going to take the championship.
That's right.
Title belt.
But it's still Adepticon. It still will be the energy and excitement will be cool.
We should raffle off a BODCON 2025 badge to a listener.
We're gonna have badges.
I mean, now we are.
We're having badges. I wasn't thinking about it, but now we are.
Now we are. We are definitely going to have badges.
Yeah. Accomplishment ribbons to put on your badge.
Does Ty get one or do I get one? Who gets one? Who gets badge number one?
Oh, me.
Do we just start? We just start with two.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the event. I'm the event creator, founder.
Right. Yeah. Give Ty zero. He gets badge zero.
All right. We'll figure it out.
I want badge
one. I'm the Alex Kammerer of
BODCON.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My life's achievement will be realized.
Here, I know it. You guys can roll for it.
I don't want to bet. I want to wear a cool orange shirt that says BODCON staff.
That's what we're gonna have, staff shirts. Yeah, we will. Now we need those. Dang it, Ben. We're just
the budget on this thing's
going up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going up, but
I mean, shirts are happening, but it's staff shirts. That's a whole other thing. We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen.
Speaking of BODCON, let's talk what's coming up and get this show in the can. So DepthCon, March 20th through the 24th, Schaumburg, Illinois, at the Renaissance and other surrounding venues. Origins in summer, I think. Is it still in June? I feel like it's solidified in June these days.
Yep. I think it's
Every time we talk about Origins, I say we really should try to get an Origins trip. Yep. But obviously this summer that won't happen. With BODCON a month after it in July. So BODCON, you hear us talking about this. We've talked about doing board game weekenders. We went a little bit bigger. We rented a place that looks awesome in the middle of nowhere, Missouri. And we're going to likely talk about it in more depth as we get closer to July. But not a real convention, but it is a group of our friends going to a destination to play games for several days and hang out. So that will be a summer activity about right between Origins and Gen Con. And then Gen Con August, Indianapolis. I don't know that I'll be headed that way at all. Troy, are you thinking about doing a night or two at Gen Con?
Yep. I actually have a hotel room, so
there you go.
That's probably my tipping point, that I'll at least show up for a little bit. So maybe I'll take Sarah with me this year and we'll make it a family trip or something.
Nice.
Very cool. So convention season is upon us here in two short weeks. Obviously other events, things happening. We'll keep you posted. If you see anyone wearing Playing and Slaying gear, blue hoodies, black or gray t-shirts, various other hats and things, please come say hi at Adepticon. iTunes, YouTube, like and subscribe, or like and subscribe. I don't even know where it is anymore. But if you're watching us on video, hi, you can see us and continue to see us. BasementofDeath.com. I'm sure shortly following Adepticon, Troy is going to have up some cool Space Hulk reference material and stuff. So get to the website, see his Black Library reading list. Now that the Horus Heresy is complete, our gnomes are going to be typing furiously on their single key keyboards to finish up the Black Library reading list. Reach us on email, intern@basementofdeath.com. All of our names, mainly Josh. Josh wants email from listeners. Send it to josh@basementofdeath.com. But that's it. We're done. Keep the dice rolling. The drink's on ice. And no matter what, at Adepticon, keep playing and slaying. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Ty.
What do you call a fish with no eyes?
What do you call a fish with no eyes?
So I went to dinner with a couple and they started arguing. I'm normally not one to take sides, but they were so distracted yelling at each other that I stole his fries and her coleslaw.
Good work.
This is a fun game.
Is it?
Yeah. Josh.
Hey, Ty.
Did you hear about the guy who cut off his left leg?
No.
He's all right now.
Woo! Good stuff.
I got one more for you, Josh.
All right, Ty.
Why do dragons sleep during the day?
Why do dragons sleep during the day?
Because they like to fight knights.
That's good.
All right.
Live from the...